Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Brutal. I'm convinced if they were still playing the game right now, the offense still wouldn't have scored a point. So.
I look back all through the 60s and 70s and 80s, you never even heard the word Rangers in the playoffs.
Right.
Not even once. But they finally got over the hump, so that's good to see.
Yeah, it is, and hopefully it ends now.
In football, in basketball, in hockey, and in baseball, it comes down to the pitching. You know, defense is what wins games. You know, and even Joe Blanton, you know, my nickname for him is Doughboy. But
Dayton Queens will really eat him and Tommy. The diehard NBA fans, if you could ask them really to break down Jared Bayless' game, whether it was a Blazer or a current Toronto Raptor, and he'll be able to give you the ins and outs of his game.
There's Devil fans? Yeah, there are actually Devil fans here.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and great to have you here on a Thursday night across America. Oh, yes. Who would have thought that this would have happened? After those two three-point attempts that were makes by Ray Allen, and they celebrated the whole night long. Hey, you forgot you had the rest of the game to play. Did you forget there were three more quarters? As the Lakers come back from 15 down, at least, and have a monster second half, play great defense, and put away the Celtics 92-86 in faithful New England. The Lakers victorious on this night with their throwback 1972 jerseys. Great to have you here on the show. We are entertaining any and all calls tonight at 424-258-9251. I'm going to try to keep it simple. I'm going to try to keep it succinct so that I can get the respect of everybody here that's listening to the show tonight. Thanks for joining us. As usual, at the bottom of the hour, we'll get into our college best bets of the weekend. I can't do it against the spread because they give me spreads for the games until about the day of. So I will not give you the spreads, but I will tell you who's going to win each respective game that's coming up at the bottom here on the show. Again, phone number 424-258-9251. It is the post-game show for the big Lakers-Celtics showdown in the city, Locks of the Week Radio. The big game coming up, the big game transpiring on TNT tonight. And let me tell you, man, the Celtics kind of celebrated the game a little too early. They kind of got a little too early. I mean, Ray Allen makes his three-pointer to tie Reggie Miller's all-time career three-point record. Then he makes another three-pointer near the end of the quarter to eclipse the record. And then the quarter ends, TNT stays on the game, they don't go to commercial. And Ray Allen just high-fiving Reggie Miller, he's high-fiving his mom, he's giving, they're just slapping people on the back. And his family, he goes off to where the basket was and slapped and calls his cousin. Holy smokes. Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. I got dropped off from Skype. I think even Skype was getting fed up with me after a while. But, But Ray Allen was starting to high-five his cousins underneath the basket on the other end of the court. He was doing a victory lap. He was doing a victory lap at the end of the first quarter. We heard saw him doing a victory lap. The game's not over yet. It's not over. He's doing a victory lap around Boston Garden. Oh, the Celtics did it again. Oh, you gotta love that. You gotta love that team. Celebrating the victory before it was final. Ugh. I never gave up on this one. Somehow, some way, I just had a feeling the Lakers were gonna make this thing interesting. And when they were getting pushed back more and more in the game, I just said, you know what? Their shots just weren't falling. They had their issues with guarding the penetration. We knew that. But I just felt like the Lakers were going to give this thing a ride. And they gave it a ride. And they gave it a nice little run near the end of the first half. Then they were within eight. And then they went on another run in the third quarter. And then they were suddenly up a couple points. And then they went on another run. after whittling the clock all the way down to 5 minutes to spell Kobe, they had Kobe resting until the 5 minute mark of the fourth quarter. It was kind of shaky for a while because Phil Jackson was waiting for a stoppage of the clock. And what happened was the game just kept going. There were no fouls, there were no balls out of bounds, shots kept going in. There were no shot clock violations, none of that, no turnovers or anything. So it was kind of weird. It stretched out a lot longer than I think Phil intended, but it went down to the 5 minute mark, and finally a ball goes out of bounds, and then Kobe enters the game. What does he do? Clockwork. And I'm surprised. I was surprised because Kobe started off that game with a measly, what was it, 3 points? And like, no, five, like 2 points and five and three assists. That was his entire output in most of the first half. But then he closed the deal. And I didn't expect it. I honestly thought he was getting old. I thought this was not really the situation for him to do so. But he did it. Got some big baskets down the stretch. And the Lakers continued their work on the other end of the court. The Celtics went ice cold. And yes, I understand that Nate Robinson was out for the second half. And I know that they really used a lot of Vaughn Wafer tonight, which, you know, is fine for a couple minutes, but using him extensively is not going to be a winning formula. And Shaq, I don't know what his deal is. He wasn't on the court much tonight either. And Perkins still doing his thing. He was fine. And, you know, Rondo doing his thing. He was fine. But, you know, suddenly just the shots that were going in early kind of failed them. But I just think that whole victory lap that Ray Allen did in the end of the first quarter to celebrate his, you know, 3-point mark, woohoo, you know, he stands and makes a 3-pointer. I mean, but he's a great player. I mean, I think that's a remarkable record and it shouldn't be understated. But victory lap at the end of the first quarter against your rivals in a big game. Only the Celtics doing victory laps at the end of the first quarter. it had to be. You knew it was coming next. Some kind of a big comeback, and there it was. The Lakers had it, and the Celtics tried to weather the storm, tried to come back, but by then it was too late. I got tears in my eyes. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. You know, they really stretched that thing out. I mean, there are moments where you want to stop a game. Big moments, big records. I mean, it's happened before. Magic Johnson, when he got the assist record, Chick Hearn stopped. I mean, the game stopped. Chick Hearn did a big announcement and stuff like that at the Forum. I remember that day. It was a good day. But nonetheless, in a big rivalry game like that, to stop a game that much and have him just kind of whooping it up in the stands. That was electric. Oh, what a day. Lakers victorious, they prevail, and you know what? They may not have anything left tomorrow against the Knicks. So the Knicks fans will be pretty happy about that because the Knicks might end up winning the game because the Lakers were just so elated about what they were able to do in the second half. And it really, to me, it happened defensively. And more than one person has pointed out that for all I've railed on Pau Gasol and his lousy defense, he actually was pretty active on the boards tonight. He was going after the boards, really going after the boards, just swinging his arms to get the ball when it came off the rim. It was just a big scene altogether. And Andrew Bynum tonight, where people were asking for the guy to get traded. And we said it yesterday, Bynum getting traded is a mistake. And you know what? This game pretty much proved it. Bynum was very active. He had a nice performance from the field. He had a nice performance overall. His defense was there. He was ready for the hard foul. He was good. 16 points on the night to go along with 9 rebounds for the night in 33 minutes. So not a full plate of minutes, but a pretty good amount. And he had 16 and 9. You know, when you have Pau Gasol on the floor with you or spelling you, that really isn't that bad. And Gasol, 10 rebounds, 20 points, and 4 for 6 from the free throw line. That really showed me a lot. And I can't expect Pau Gasol to have that all the time. And obviously, it's in terms of fantasy numbers, it obviously wasn't great, but That's a performance. No, any way you slice it, that's a performance, whether you like it or not. That is a performance tonight. And I'm telling you, this team really got it together in the second half. It didn't look good early. It did not. But, boy, is this exciting or what? So the Lakers get back what they lost initially at Staples Center, getting the game on the road against Boston. And, you know, the way they came back was really impressive. And you got to give a lot of credit to Phil for making the adjustments. You got to give a lot of credit to the Lakers for staying with it. And you just got to give a lot of credit all the way around. I mean, for them to battle back in this game, they could have easily given up. Very easily. They're up down by 15. The crowd really roaring. The big record broken of three-point makes. I mean, that's a lot of stuff. A lot of pressure. And, you know, it's just, it's truly been quite an amazing second half for the Lakers. And I certainly am proud to have been witness to that tonight. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio, 424-258-9251. It's just a big game for big teams, and it's just you get the feeling as the months roll on that these are going to be your two representatives in the finals. Now, I didn't think that so early on. I got to be honest. I felt like, wow, this could be it for the Lakers. I mean, maybe they've run out of gas. But that was only momentary. I honestly never truly thought this game was over. And just something lingered. I said, you know what? The Celtics had this great performance. They had a lot of great shots. Big scoring drives and ones. Just all sorts of positive energy from the Celtics tonight. Good dribble penetration, good passing, and hot shooting to start the game. And yet somehow the Lakers kept hanging around. They never truly blew it open. When I was watching that, I said, you know, the Lakers may have a chance here. Because they were shooting about as poorly as you possibly could from the outside. And Gasol's getting almost every other shot blocked in the first and second quarters. I said, something's got to give. I figured they were going to make a comeback, at least a run, if anything. They made the run. But what surprised me even further was that they built on that, and suddenly they were in control of the game. And did you hear how quiet the TD Garden was in the mid, you know, about 5 minutes? No, let's say three minutes left in the fourth quarter. And you could really hear a pin drop at the TD Bank North, former Bank North, former Fleet, former TD, you know, whatever. Garden. The Garden, basically. They made a bit of a run. They got it within three, but then the Lakers continued to stay with it. They knew the situation. They knew the clock. They knew what was going on. And give them credit. They held on for the win. And you know what? You know, let's not sell the Celtics short on this one. Yes, they did blow a 15-point lead, and yes, they lost the game. But you know, you had some really good highlights tonight. And yes, Robinson was out for the second half, so you have to give a little credence to that. The Celtics do often have those periods, though, no matter how good they look initially, where they just go cold, absolutely cold. You had guys who you thought were going to get the shots in. You know, for example, Pierce not making those shots later on in the game, stuff like that. It happens, but the Celtics really, I don't think they're going anywhere. I mean, I think that's clear anyway, regardless of how this game went. I think this team's here to stay. I think, you know, you saw the defensive intensity. It's not like they gave up a ton of points anyway. I mean, they didn't give up more than 95. And looking at it, just you break it down. Yes, the Celtics did give up 27 in the third quarter, which is not great. And a total of 47 in the second half, not great. But again, it's not like they got blown out 130 to 110 or anything like that. I mean, so I just think that both teams are showing that they do, when really pushed, they do have the championship moxie that it takes to be a champion, which is one reason why I think this matchup in the NBA Finals is so great. It was great in 2008. It was great in 2010. And if all breaks well for both teams, it will be great in 2011. We'll see. Hope that you all are enjoying the program tonight. Coming up in just moments, we're going to talk about the shocking developments in Utah and Salt Lake City, where Jerry Sloan has stepped down as coach of the Jazz after over two decades of service. Huge news in the NBA. Then at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about our college bets of the weekend and your phone calls. So stay tuned with us. Glad to have you on tonight. We're going till midnight out east, 9 o'clock out west. This is Dave in the City. Back at it here in the city, 8:20 on the program. I'm Dave Medina, taking you to midnight tonight, 9 o'clock here. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, shoot, the music was starting a little early for our second break. Got that figured out. So, but anyway, good to have you here tonight. Well, again, we'll have our college picks coming up in just moments, bottom of the hour, here on the show. Still trying to decompress after an incredible Laker win. We want to hear from you tonight, too, 424-258-9251. But before we get into any of that, big news in the NBA from the coaching ranks as Jerry Sloan steps down today due to differences. This is my opinion. Due to differences between he and Darren Williams. This was relayed to me by our friend Juhan Lee earlier this afternoon. And when he announced it to me, you probably found it on his Twitter. And I was like shocked. I was like, what? Is he gonna do that today? And he was like, yeah, he's gonna do it today. Apparently they had a spat between him and Darren Williams, and then the game that they played against the Bulls, ironically enough, really sealed it. Absolutely sealed it. He was done. Can you imagine? Jerry Sloan, after that model of consistency, model of success, hard-nosed defense. A guy that was always a fixture in the NBA as long as I've been around. Well, not literally. I do vaguely recall Frank Layden coached the team from the very early years of my life. But then when I was 6, maybe 7, Sloan took over. And he stayed. He stayed through 2 regimes. Stockton Malone and Darren Williams. And it's really funny because he's had Darren Williams for a long time. But this... I guess enough was enough. I was really unaware of this, to be honest. I am not that close to Utah, Salt Lake City, or the Jazz, so it's a day that shakes up the state of Utah for sure, and the West is certainly worse for it, in my opinion. And Sloan obviously has roots with the Chicago Bulls too, but further up, making this ironic because, you know, there's a lot of ways that the Bulls and this Jazz tie in each other. And I've told Umar about this many times. That would be Lee in New York. And I've talked about how the Bulls certainly have some of the Jazz players on there, and the Jazz have some of the Bulls players on there. It's really funny. I've almost gotten to a point where I've called one team Bulls West or the other team Jazz East. You know, it's pretty ridiculous, but it is funny. You know, there are a lot of ties between the two clubs, and Sloan is one of those ties, and he's gone. And, you know, everybody talked about how he loved riding his tractor. He's definitely a farm boy. And as the NBA.com article states, Jerry Sloan grew up on a farm in McLeansboro, Illinois. So he always knew there was a time to take the crops in. That if it came this week instead of last week, today rather than tomorrow, it is irrelevant. You do it till they don't want you anymore, Sloan once said, or it stops being fun. In this case, according to the NBA.com article, it's more than a little bit of both. Startling, startling stuff. This article, by the way, coming to us from Fran Blindbury of NBA.com. Many thanks to him for providing this material. And he offers a couple of things to us regarding Sloan. He says, according to the Elias Sports Bureau, 40 current NBA players were not even born when Sloan succeeded Frank Layden as coach of the Jazz in December 9th, 1988, and began carving out a plain-spoken, no-excuses legacy that is not likely to be matched, and I certainly agree with that. That ends the quote from the article. 1988. You can only imagine how long ago that was. December 9th, 1988, we were only 2 months removed from the Dodgers' last World Series. It feels like generations ago. Why? Because it was generations ago. That's the beauty. That's the crazy thing about it. The world was so different then. You know, we didn't have CDs, let alone iPods and MP3s and YouTube and Twitter and Blu-ray discs and high-def TVs and Birdman Chris Anderson. None of that was here in 1988. We did have this, however. You know, the Martika song, which was huge in 1989. So we were kind of a little bit off with that. I mean, that song wouldn't hit for another few months after that date. But nonetheless, this is startling news for me. I mean, as long as I've been around the NBA for most of my life, I've known Jerry Sloan to be a part of it. And I've known Sloan to be a part of that team. And my dad is certainly no stranger to Sloan either. He's certainly aware. And he hates the guy. He absolutely hates the guy. He thinks he's a sore loser. He thinks he's a jerk. He's a bit of a crybaby. He really hates that guy. He really hates that guy. But I personally have a lot of respect for Mr. Sloan. And I just think it's unfortunate that it ended this way. I really thought that he would just coach and coach and coach until, like, Mike Krzyzewski or somebody like that, or maybe, you know, Gene Cady, he would just be so old, or Denny Crum, you know, he'd be just so old that he just decided to retire and end it and just ride his tractor for forever. And that would be that. He'd ride off into the sunset on a John Deere, but it was not to be. And that's a sad day for the Utah Jazz franchise. And I've hated the Jazz over my years, watching as an L.A. Laker fan, or as any fan, really. I've hated the Jazz off and on. I've come to realize, though, a lot of that hatred was really directed at Malone and Stockton, two of the dirtiest, whiniest players to have ever played the game. Great players, certainly, but whiny, dirty, annoying, and, you know, kind of, you know, just you could never get into either of those guys. Kind of thuggish, in a way. More Stockton more than Malone, if you could believe that. I mean, John Stockton, off the ball, was one of the dirtiest players you could have ever seen in the NBA. And I just think that's really funny how that they really give Malone all the rap for being the guy that kind of is the intimidator. Not so. He's just the wing scorer. He's the recipient of the pick and roll. Or he makes sets to pick. Stockton did the roll. That blah, blah, blah. You know, you've seen that for many years. But Sloan was a big part of that. And he preached good defense. And he stayed with that approach for many years and never really wavered, even through the down years and then the resurrection of the team. It's just so sad to see this happen. And I can't believe that he's just simply left all of a sudden. I mean, a lot of this is news to me, that Sloan has decided to step down as an NBA coach. I mean, he could theoretically get hired somewhere else, but I just don't think it's in his character to do. You know, I mean, I'm sure he could go back to the Bulls, maybe be an assistant, maybe be a special consultant, and just retire to Illinois forever and recede into the sunset. He is 68 years old, so it wouldn't really be that surprising if he did. But I really wish he would have been on his own terms. You know, say what you will about Sloan, about what his coaching style and his personality and whatnot. You know, the guy actually does have a lot of class. You know what happened? I'm sure a lot of people know this. Last year when the Lakers played the Jazz and the Lakers just beat the living tar out of them, they swept them. The final game at Utah, Salt Lake City at the, what is it called now? Energy Solutions Arena. End of the game, Jerry Sloan actually went up and shook Phil's hand, as coaches tend to do at the end of series. And he said, and you could see it when you were lip reading, "I hope you win it all this year," to Phil. I mean, that's strong words. You remember how much they battled in the 1997 and 1998 finals, and to have him say that to Phil Jackson years after the fact, that's pretty amazing. That's a remarkable character, in my opinion. So, you know, people have their opinions of him one way or the other, but he stuck to his guns, he stayed with his conviction, he preached his style, he had things his way, but he was a gentleman, I gotta be honest with you. So Jerry Sloan leaving the Jazz, it's a bad day for the NBA. I mean, maybe a bad story for the NBA anyway. It's a good day for the NBA. You had the Laker game tonight. Celtics, Lakers, always a good thing. But, you know, it's never good when you see something like that happen. And I certainly hope that Mr. Sloan can get on his feet. Maybe move on to another job. Maybe not. But, again, it's incredible that a player was able to run a guy out like that after years of being with him. And I can't even begin to speculate the reasons why. We'll probably delve into that next week during our podcasts as to the why. But right now, it's the what. And the what is that Sloan is gone. Just not good day. Not a good day to be a Jazz fan, I would think. Can't speak to the day-to-day followers of the Jazz, but I can't even imagine it being a good day in a lot of ways. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. It's 8:30, so let's start with our weekend college bets. Yes, sir. I don't have any music for it, but let's get us going here with our weekend bets in college basketball. It's all on the way. You know what? Let's see what we can begin with. We have our first few games. We're going to do the Saturday and Sunday games. I won't give you point spreads on this because I don't have point spreads to give you, but what I will give you is I will give you some picks on who's going to win. I have calculated several games on the docket. There are many of them, many exciting matchups coming up, and many of them involving the Big East. So here's our first one, Syracuse and Louisville. Syracuse, after a terrible loss, Louisville, after their own terrible loss, they're matching up at the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Rick Pitino's boys going up against Jim Boeheim's boys, and honestly, the pick on this one is going to be Louisville. The Cardinals are going to take this thing, rebound from their tough loss at Notre Dame, and get this thing done. They're going to win the game, and I think they're going to win the game going away. Sorry, Syracuse fans. I know Get Your Own Show is a big fan of the team, but I think that, now, Scoop Jardine can do so much, but I don't think he'll do enough, and I think Louisville will take care of it. They've got a good, excellent team composition, and that's going to happen for them. Kentucky and Vanderbilt. Listen to this. I think Vanderbilt's going to cover the spread today. I don't know about winning. I think they can win. It's an unusual facility they play at, which means nothing in this particular matchup. But in Nashville, Vanderbilt's Vandy's faithful will be happy, or at least satisfied that they stayed in it. Coming up also on Saturday, a huge game, by the way. Ohio State going out to Wisconsin to play in Kohl Center. And some people have speculated on it, and I will be part of that group. I think Wisconsin's got a real chance at an upset. I think they will do it. Wisconsin for the upset. Ohio State 24-0, 8-0 on the road. but it ends Saturday. Wisconsin's going to win this one. I'm not sure by how much, but Wisconsin for the upset. Finally, for Saturday, Pitt at Villanova. Nova just giving the biggest collapse of their lives against Rutgers of all teams. But I also consider Pittsburgh's great road record, 5-0 on the road. They're 22-2 overall, unless they played a game and I missed it. But that game's going down at night at the Pavilion in Villanova, Pennsylvania. But I am picking Pitt. Pitt's going to win this one. I think it's going to be a tight game, but I do think that the Panthers will put this one down. So Pitt wins this one on the road to extend their winning streak there. Now to Sunday's action. Only a few games on the schedule, but three of them are of interest to me. First, we have Purdue at Illinois at Assembly Hall. Always a tough place to play, and proven by the home record of the Illinois Illini, 11-1 on the season. Purdue's a good get. It's a good get, but I like Illinois in this game, even though they're unranked. Go Illini. I'm going to pick them to take the win big time. And I'm not saying they're going to win by double digits, but I think they're going to win there at Assembly Hall. So that's my pick for that one. Then, later in the evening, we'll be seeing Duke going on the road to play Miami of Florida. Duke gotten a big comeback win, an inexplicable comeback, really, when you see how much North Carolina was up initially in the game, especially the first half. It was like 43-29. You thought that was it. It was not it. And Duke came back in a big way at Cameron Indoor to take care of it and beat their rivals, North Carolina. That was a little startling the way that transpired, but I think Miami's going to pull another upset here too. So Miami is going to take it to Duke. They're going to upset the Dukies, and I think we're going to start seeing some questions about that previously vaunted team. And finally, in the Pac-10, Arizona at Arizona State. Arizona is showing themselves to be probably the best team in the conference, in my opinion. I think Arizona will win with the former Xavier coach at the helm, and they will take down Arizona State, who's not that good anyway, on the road. Those are your picks, your college basketball bets of the weekend. We'll take a break, then come back with more. This is Dave in the City.
Why do birds suddenly appear? Every time you are near, just like me.
Oh, shit.
They long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky? Every time you walk by, just like me. That you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you all around. Just like me, they long to be close to you. Follow you all around. like me. They long to be close to you. Just like me.
Just like me.
They long to be close to you.
Welcome back into the city, everybody. I'm Dave Medina. Now, if you're listening to this on the podcast, you'll be hearing a proper break. I played a Carpenters song, actually, during the break. If you're listening to this program on the live stream, you heard a slight replay of the Ernest Gonzalez interview, and I appreciate you sitting through that. We are back on the show. Now, I just want to recap my college basketball picks. Now, when we last left you, at least on the live program, you were hearing me pretty much tear off on Villanova. I'm going to stand by that. I know they're 92-0 or whatever the last whatever game. Sorry, Tom, but I think that they're going to lose that game anyway. So let's go through this one more time. So we have the Saturday games. Just to review, I've picked Louisville to take it to beat Syracuse, Vanderbilt to at least cover against Kentucky. I believe that later in the day we're going to see Wisconsin pull off a big upset over Ohio State. And Pitt, with their great 5-0 road record, will beat Villanova on the road at 9 Eastern. That's going to be a game I'm going to definitely pay attention to as well. Sunday's action, I picked Illinois to beat Purdue at Assembly Hall, where they're very good. I'll have Miami taking down Duke. And I'll have Arizona beating up Arizona State. Those are my picks for the college football basketball weekend. My uneducated get picks, I'll be honest with you. I don't follow the game as closely as other people do. John Wood has a better read on it. Andy in Seattle does. Tom in Jersey does. Many people do. But I do believe that those picks will transpire, and I'll get at least half of them right. So, Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Good to have you all here tonight. Let's go to the blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City chat room. To ensure that everybody can hear tonight, is everyone able to listen in? Can they hear what we have? Yes, I believe they can. So we have confirmation. We are still looking for telephone calls, however. So if you could, call us at 424-258-9251, and we will continue with our endeavor tonight. I've been having some major internet problems all over the last couple of days. I cannot figure it out. It's kind of gotten a little frustrating now. Maybe the router is getting a little wonky on me. I may have to replace it. Whatever the case may be, I'm glad we still have our telephone backup as usual here on the show. When you hear the podcast tomorrow, or today if you're listening to the podcast, you will hear pretty much a normal show. That's the funny thing about it. You're going to hear not much latency or delays, so it's going to be kind of odd, but you will be treated to the entire broadcast on that one. So I'm pumped up. It's been a real up and down week outside of my day job. During my day job, it's been fine. Actually, it's been a pretty good week at my place of employment at UCLA. But away from it and around it, it's just been kind of here and there and everywhere. And I got a little announcement to make to you all. I am going to be participating in a couple announcements. But number one, I'm going to be participating in what they call in a little team building exercise. It will be an endurance swim. It's something they call Swim for the Flan. And flan, for those who are unfamiliar, is a Mexican dessert. It's like Jell-O, basically. But it's composed of milk and like vanilla and a lot of sugar in it. So, if you haven't tried it, you certainly can try it. I'm not a fan of it myself, but a lot of people love it. So it's a big deal. So we're going to be trying to swim for that. It's kind of like a goal setting exercise. And then there'll be a potluck after it where there'll be food. There'll be all kinds of nice stuff and it should be good. So that's a great Sunday morning / afternoon. The goal is to try to swim through 100 intervals. Like let's say that you could choose a 50-yard interval, 100 yards, or 75, and you have to do 100 of them, or try to. How far can you go? Can you do all 100? It's not time, so you can take your time with it, but can you do it? You know, that's pretty funny. And to put in perspective, a typical workout, I said the typical workout is 2,000 yards. So if you were to do, if 50 yards is two lengths of the pool, and you had to do that 100 times, how many times would that be? How many yards would that be? Well, if you do a typical workout, 2,000 yards, how many 50-yard swim does it take to get to that much? And I think it takes 40 50-yard lengths to get to 2,000 yards in a typical swimming day. So to get to 100, you have to do that twice and then half of a third one to get to 100. So that's a lot of swimming. Definitely a lot of swimming to be had. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. No doubt about it. So that's exciting. UCLA swim team, by the way, is going to have a swim meet against their rivals to the east, the USC Trojans. That's on Saturday. I may check that out anyway and see if I can get any of our friends from the swim club to join us. Join me, excuse me, not us. Well, maybe us if we do a podcast from there, but we'll see. So that's pretty exciting. You know, people have been speculating about this about the other things going on. We do have a telephone call, though. 323 area code. Let's bring him in the show on the show. Caller, you're in the city. What's up? Who is this?
Hello. Hey, baby.
Hey, yeah. This is my cousin-in-law. His name is George. Hey, thanks for calling in tonight, my friend. Let's talk about the Lakers a little bit. How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. How are you, man? I'm excited. I couldn't believe that we actually won this one tonight, man.
I know what you mean. It's after the way that it started off in the first half, uh-huh. I was not prepared for them coming back in this game, but they totally did. It was really, really just impressive. I mean, what impressed you about that second half, George?
The defense was impressive. You know, the way they were able to shut them down. You know, I don't know what they shot in the second half. Was it like, 31% or something like that? Or it was a really low percentage than what they shot the second half.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just incredible. I mean, the Celtics really were tied down. And, you know, if you look at the box score, they were held to 15 points in the third quarter. And that, I think that was a huge springboard for L.A. to just simply make their run. And you got to give a lot of credit to everybody on that one. Bynum, Gasol, Kobe, pretty much everybody. It was a team effort. As I hear a car honking in the background, I don't know what that's all about. But you know, welcome to L.A., you know.
Well, I think that run in the second quarter was critical, because if they would have gone into the half with a more than 10-point deficit, I think it would have been really difficult. But that big run at the end, I think it gave them the momentum. They needed to get the second half started in the right way.
Yeah, definitely. They needed something. They needed a spark. Actually, when you think about the end of the second quarter, the way they were able to get in that little run to get it back from a double-digit lead to within single digits to get it to 8, was mm-hmm. actually a pretty big confidence booster, considering all that they were celebrating at the beginning of the first quarter. I mean, it was really good to see that, too. You know, Shannon Brown tonight was interesting. You know, he had a couple of threes, I thought, and he had a pretty decent night. And the slam, did he have a breakaway slam, by the way, during the game? I mean, in that first half? Wow. That was a good punctuation.
Yeah, you love to hear the boos from the Celtic crowd. that happens.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's all culminated together. This is a big statement win for LA. It does show, though, I think that both teams are definitely going to be game ready if they were to meet in the finals. Is that what was that also your impression?
Definitely. You know, I think it was a bigger game for the Lakers than it was for the Celtics, because the Lakers needed to start showing that they could, you know, win games when they really count. And they need to show that, you know, the magical switch is still much alive, because people say they're not capable of just turning on the switch, but I think they're showing us on this road trip that they still have it. So there was, it's a big statement game, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I think, you know, I was also of the opinion that if they had lost in the end, even after that big comeback, I still think it was a great effort. They really showed something, being down that much and being able to not to give up on the game. There have been nights where they do, you know, and so especially this year, the way that they've really not shown up against big teams, we've talked about it all year. And we talked about also how Gasol really wilted against the big guys, but tonight Gasol's pretty good. You know, he had 10 10 or 9 rebounds. I think he had 10 rebounds and 20 points. Mm-hmm. Big effort.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a huge, huge game. And, you know, if nothing else, I mean, I was really surprised that they won, to be honest with you. But I was really happy throughout the game that at least it was a close game. And that's if nothing else. If they lost, I could have accepted the loss. I just wanted to make sure that they made a game out of it. And when they won, it was just a bonus, because I just wanted a nice competitive game, because they've been getting blown out by the big teams.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And now, you know, coming up tomorrow, the New York Knickerbockers. We have some Knicks fans listening to our show tonight. What do you see about the Knicks that you find very likable about the team?
Well, they're playing with confidence, you know, and they, you know, they truly believe now that they have the pieces to be a competitive team and make a somewhat of a run in the playoffs. Where before they were not, you know, they weren't confident. They didn't have anybody that had been there before. Now they have some confidence. They believe that they could play with the big boys. Although, you know, right now they really haven't proven, you know, anything. But at least they have that swagger, and they feel like they could play with the big boys. So any team that has confidence, you know, could be dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, not to mention that the Knicks always have the knack for scoring points, and Stoudemire is certainly a big part of that. We know about Raymond Felton and Gallinari, and it's not a bad team. I mean, I think that's the thing about it. I mean, they did show some spunk initially in that late game at Staples Center. I think they'll be really fired up for this. The crowd will be right there, and the Lakers will be on a back-to-back, too. So, you know, it wouldn't exactly surprise me if the Lakers were to let down in this one and lose it, or simply just get beaten by the New York Knicks. And to me, honest with you, I don't think that bothers me. Given the choice of losing the game at Boston, losing the game at New York, wouldn't you choose losing the game at New York?
Oh, definitely, because right now, you know, New York really hasn't done anything against us in the last couple of years, you know, where Boston, beat us in the finals, you know, 3 years ago.
Right.
You know, definitely Boston is the one we have fresh in our minds right now. It's been a while since the New York Knicks have been relevant. So losing to them right now is no big deal.
Right, I would say so, but I think that's changing, honestly. I think they get a couple more pieces together. They've been trying to make that Carmelo Anthony deal all year. Mm-hmm. You heard the rumor for Anthony to the Lakers. Do you find that at all, or did you figure it was just posturing for the Knicks?
I think it's just Carmelo Anthony's agent just trying to create some leverage and trying to force the Knicks' hand to do something. But the Knicks have to be careful, because if they, you know, if they give up too much to get Carmelo, then it'll be Carmelo and Stoudemire and a bunch of nobodies. And, you know, everybody knows that you cannot win a championship with only two players. You know, you have to have, it's obviously helpful to have a couple of all-stars, but you also need have some strong role players around you. And,
right.
You know, if they give up too much for him, give up some players and give up some draft picks, then, you know, they're going to have nobody coming to them in the future either by way of the draft. So they have to be really careful. They do it. They make sure that they're not giving up too much. Otherwise, they're going to end up with two good players, but then nothing else around them.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I think it's a good start. That's the key. I mean, they had nothing like a couple years ago. This is actually the foundation for what could be a really good team. And so we certainly hope that transpires. I'd love to see a Lakers-Knicks final. We haven't really seen one since 1972, or was it 1973? I think it was 1972.
Yeah.
It would be good to see that again.
It's been a while. Didn't Phil Jackson play in that?
I think he was. I think he was playing the game, if you believe that. Yeah.
That was a while ago.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Well, I just wanted to call in, and I got to check out now, but keep up with your show, man. It's fantastic, and then we'll talk again soon.
All right, George. Good talking to you, man. Take care of yourself.
All right, buddy. Okay, good night.
Nice. George Maldonado in Palmdale. George in Palmdale, we'll call him. It's calling in the City Locks of the Week radio.
Yeah, I referred to him as a cousin-in-law, and the reason why I did... Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oops. More technical difficulties on the show. Oh, so sorry about that. I accidentally hung up on my own phone. Really sorry. So sorry. I just hung up on my own phone. I was just kind of embarrassing. Anyway, I was saying the reason I called, I referred to my cousin-in-law as my cousin-in-law because he's married to my cousin, so I called him a cousin-in-law. I'm not sure what you call that. I mean, you call it a cousin? Do you call it an in-law? Do you call him a sort of a, you know, I don't even know what to make of it. You know, like when somebody marries your sister, you call the guy a brother-in-law. When a girl marries one of your brothers, you call her a sister-in-law. But what do you call a cousin, a guy, somebody that marries your cousin? I don't know what you make. What do you call that? I maybe just call it a plain old in-law. But he's a cool dude, and you've heard him, and he's a big Laker fan. I mean, and the people in the chat actually had guessed that he's a Raider fan for whatever reason, but he actually is, actually. That's really good guessing, guys. He is a Raider fan. He's not really invested in the team like he used to be. I mean, would you be with the Raiders being as bad as they've been the last 15 years? But it's not 15, more like 8. But you know, it's sort of that sort of deal with that. But we're family, so it's all good, and it's all in good spirits. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio, final minutes of the show. Just to reiterate, I can't say enough about how great this win was for L.A., It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win a championship out of this. You can't suddenly protract that just because of a game. And you couldn't protract if they lost, if they lost the game, you couldn't protract that they're just finished for any kind of playoff run either. There's no way. I mean, that would have been unrealistic to expect. But I do think that it's a very positive building block, and suddenly the Lakers are 3-0 on the road trip. The Grammy road trip can make or break a season. And I've seen years where they've absolutely shined in this Grammy road trip. We call it the Grammy road trip because it takes place during the Grammy Awards, which takes place at Staples Center, which is why everybody's on the road. Kings are on the road, Clippers on the road, Lakers on the road. They're all on the road at the same time because of the Grammys. And it's like, and they need the building for 2 weeks, so it's a huge road trip. And it makes or breaks seasons. And the Clippers are faltering on this road trip. They're playing the Cavs tomorrow, and god damn it, they better win. I don't want to see the Cavs win a game and then have to play the 0-26 on the road Wizards on that Sunday. They got to win that game. We need to see that epic matchup of ineptitude in the NBA. Hopefully it'll happen, and the Clippers will take care of business. And then the Kings on the road started off with a great road trip, but an unforgivable loss. I'm sorry. You don't have Malkin, you don't have Crosby on the team, and you lose? Man, that's pathetic. That is pathetic. That is pathetic because, you know, they can barely scratch together one goal. They got the one goal, and you still couldn't beat them. Now, the Kings got the point. And then the worst part is at the end of the overtime period, with like 10 seconds left, the puck is turned over, and Jordan Staal scores the game winner before they can get to the shootout. So they have no chance of the win. No chance at all. Holy smokes, is that a bad loss. That is a bad loss. And I mean, they're fortunate to get the point out of it, but what a terrible loss for the Kings. But a good road trip for them nonetheless. The loser at all this is the Clippers, but they did get the win against New York. Hopefully, I expect them to get the win against the Cavs tomorrow, and then who knows what happens after that. So, guys, it's been great having you on the show, everybody. Really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, we really hope that you've enjoyed it. And honestly, take care of yourselves, everyone. It's been real. We hope to have you again on Monday, when we will talk about more that's happening in sports. We may even do a two-hour college basketball podcast then. Hopefully we'll have our friend Justin in Long Island for that one. And then Wednesday, the Fringe Sports Podcast, Wednesday, February 16th at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Be there. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great night. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next time.